Good morning, and welcome to Zion. It's good to see you all here this morning. Vonnie and I are looking forward to having all of our sons home in a few weeks. We miss them. And I thought about it. I also miss it when I haven't seen you of my Zion family for a while, or if I haven't talked to you for a while. So it's also good just to see you again. So I'd invite you right now to stand and greet those around you, and maybe even those not so close to you. But we'll take a few minutes to do that. And if you have an announcement to give, work your way forward and make your announcement then after the greeting time. Okay, the fun's over. You have an announcement? Okay. If you have an announcement, come on up and you can give it at this time.
Hey, everyone. I have a fun announcement about turkeys. Our huge turkey giveaway on Tuesday was amazing. We collected 115 turkeys. And gave away all of them except for 5 that are still in our freezer. So that means we had about 80 families that came through our home. And I think a bunch of them got 2 turkeys, which was really cool. And, yeah, we saw a lot of new faces. And we had a lot of volunteers, which made my day just more peaceful. I just felt like God was with us all day, and I just really, really, really felt Him all day long, and it was wonderful. So thank you for your help. Thank you.
Well, Cheryl loves to get up here in front, so we traded places today. So what does this mean, right? So the answer is yes. All the emails and the texts and the questions, there are rolls for refugees this year. So if you were counting on cinnamon rolls, the answer is yes. We're having cinnamon rolls. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. Cheryl's email is also on that piece of paper if you want to email Cheryl. You can go to rollsforrefugees.com. The pickup dates will be Sunday the 9th and Sunday the 16th. They have added maple frosting this year for an additional $1 for those of you that want maple frosting. If you would like to help, Saturday, December 1st, Friday, December 7th, and Friday, December 14th, we would love to see your helping hands. And all the proceeds go to Mennonite Central Committee or Preemptive Love Coalition. And so far, since you all have started this, or we all have started this, we've raised $6,500 for those ministries. So Rolls for Refugees, and the information's on the back. Thanks for your support.
Just a reminder of this blue sheet in your bulletin. Worship Commission is asking for you to share with us songs that are meaningful to you during worship. And we've received quite a few of those, but if you haven't filled one of these out, please do. Also, look at your bulletin for Advent. Things coming up next Sunday, Canby High School Catalinas will be here to share with us in music. There's a senior tea in December and Sing Your Own Messiah Christmas service. So look at those as you're planning for December. Thank you.
Good morning. I also want to draw your attention to the bulletin. The Zion camping trip for 2019 is it's time to make reservations again. It's not me that wants to plan this far ahead. I think it's just society these days. You get 9 months exactly ahead of time to plan it or to make the reservations. And I went on Thursday and 75% of the sites were already reserved. So if you're interested in going to that, go ahead and look in your bulletin. If you have any questions, you can come and see me. I did reserve one extra spot like I did last year just for those folks that don't like to plan and you want to come and talk to me right before, and I might have a spot for you. So for a price.
I can see a bidding war coming up for that extra spot, huh? So Andy is going to be bringing the message today, and he's going to be sharing about what he's learned from his children. That's part of what he's going to be sharing about. And as a group of believers called Zion Mennonite Church, we also learn from each other in many ways. I'd ask you to join me in the reading of a prayer on number 726 in the blue hymnal. 726. We'll read this together. Gracious and eternal God, we thank you for the bonds of love we share within your church. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who has joined us into one living body. Enable us, by your Spirit, to walk together in unity of love and purpose, to help one another by work and example, to live in faithful obedience to your will. By the justice and mercy we show one another, may your name be praised through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Clyde, would you come and lead us in singing?
Thank you, Kristen. Your music was a blessing. I'd like to begin this morning by singing a song of praise, and if you're able, would you stand? Number 59 in the blue hymnal. Number 59. And glory. Andy has chosen a scripture from 1 John 4. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Let's turn to number 371. Let there be light, Lord God of hosts. And notice in the third verse that the reference is made, the love that casteth out all fear. Number 371. Now turn to the red book. That's this one. And we have a hymn that actually has that phrase in it. O love that casts out fear. This is one author's take on that passage. 287 in the red book.
Love of the Holy Ghost, fill thou.
Would the ushers come forward, please? Let's pray. Lord, this past week we experienced a special day of Thanksgiving. I pray that every day can be a day when we thank you for what you have done for us. As we give our tithes and offerings this morning, help us to remember that our money is not the only way we give to the work of your church. Amen.
Can the children come forward? Hi, Lisa. Are you okay? Hi, Lincoln. How are you? Good morning. It's good to see you. Now, some of you were here last Sunday, and last Sunday we talked about some things that you were thankful for, and you drew some pictures that are now back in the foyer for other people to see of the things that you were thankful for. Jack? You did. You wrote something. You wrote that you were thankful for all the letters of the alphabet. That's right. I remember your paper. Anyway, one thing that a bunch of you said was that you were thankful for your moms and your dads. And I'm thankful for my mom and my dad, too. And today, Andy's going to talk about parenting and how moms and dads help you to grow up. So I thought I'd read a book called The Daddy Book. And if you want, you can either look at the book here, which is kind of tiny, or you can look up on the big screen. The Daddy Book. Some daddies take pictures of you. Some daddies draw pictures of you. Some daddies wear suits. Some daddies wear two different socks. Some daddies sing in the shower. Some daddies sing to you in bed. Some daddies work at home. Some daddies work far away. All daddies like to watch you sleep. Some daddies teach you how to walk. Some daddies teach you how to ride a skateboard. Mm-hmm. Some daddies have a little hair. Some daddies have a lot of hair. Mm-hmm. Same pictures. Some daddies play in your treehouse. Some daddies have tea parties with you. Some daddies make cookies. Some daddies stop for donuts. All daddies want you to be who you are. So I could have picked a mommy book, or I could have picked a grandma book or a grandpa book as well, but I picked the daddy one. But there's something pretty cool about being here at church, because not only do you have your mom and dad that you live with, but because we're part of a church family, we have lots of people in the entire congregation that also love you and care for you. I want all of you to look out in the audience right now. Turn around, turn the other way, and look out in the audience at the congregation. We're a church family. All of those people out there love you and care for you. They help your moms and dads to parent you, and they want you to grow up to love Jesus just like they do. We're going to pray, and after we're done praying, I want all of you to sit on the front bench, okay? So instead of going back to your mom and dad when we're done praying, you're going to sit on the front bench for a minute while Stacy does something. So let's close our eyes and pray quick. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for our parents and our grandparents, and thank you, too, for the adopted parents and grandparents that we have in our church family and the aunts and the uncles. Thank you for your love for us. Amen. Okay, go sit on the front bench.
So Levi, Ethan, Redmond, and Bowen. Can you come here real quick? All right, Jack, I don't need you right this very minute, but thank you for helping me. And Liesl, I don't need you right this very minute, but thank you for helping me. I just need these five boys right here. So you can go back to your mom and dad. Okay. Okay, so boys, face these people out here. I want you to give them your best scary face. They look pretty scary, right? So how many of you out here like to spend 1 hour a week with Jesus? No one? Seriously? I thought this was going to be the easy part. And how many of you were 4 years old like these five boys at one time? Okay, I firmly believe that God is prodding someone here today to be a halftime teacher of this group. The lesson and items needed each week are provided in the teacher's guide, so you can use the 9:30 to 9:45 time slot when the kids are singing with Chris. And that will be all the time you need to prepare. As you can tell, they're a pretty rowdy, scary group. And if you do feel that God is prodding you, but you're still afraid, that's totally fine. I've been there myself. But listen to him and tell me yes, and we need somebody to start next week, so if you could substitute one time, and if you find out it's totally not your thing, that would be fine. You are off the hook. But anyway, I just wanted to give that little plug to all of you today, because I believe there is somebody here that God is prodding to do that, because these boys need a teacher. All right, thank you, boys. You five can go back to your parents right now. And then we have some third grade girls and some new members of our Sunday school class. We've got Quentin and Lincoln and Olive. And we have one more. There she is, Rachel. Oh, I see Rachel's parents. And we have Lucy and Ella. So come on up, and your teachers are going to come up. So we are so glad to have each of you as members of our Sunday school class. And for those of you that don't know Lucy, her dad will be speaking in a little bit, so that will help you identify her. Ella is her good friend and has come for quite a while with their family. These two are cousins, as you can tell. And here comes Rachel. And is Quentin here still? Okay. So Quentin's mom is Caitlin Kaufman, and we'll give him a Bible storybook later. So we've got their teachers up here, and your teachers are going to give you your Bibles or your storybooks. And for those of you that are in third grade, you've probably seen different members in this congregation writing their names in your Bible, so that when you're reading those verses, you'll know that people out here love those same verses too. And we've got these storybooks for the new 2-year-olds in our program. So we're just really happy to have each of you here today. You can go back to your moms and dads or grandparents.
Andy has asked for two scriptures to be read this morning, and they're going to be read by two of his children, Avery, and then Lucy is going to be reading instead of Allie. So Avery and Lucy, if you come up now and you can read these two scriptures.
First John 4:18 through 19. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he loved us first.
Romans 8:15 through 16. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now call him Abba Father. We now call him Abba Father. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children.
Thank you. Andy, would you come up, please? You have no fear, right? I'd like to pray for you before you start. Thank you, Father, for our brother Andy and for his willingness to come up here in front of us and share what's on his heart this morning. So we pray that you give him peace and calmness and just be able to share what's on his heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Good morning. So, before I get started, a few disclaimers. First, I remember thinking I knew something about parenting before I had any kids. And once I had a couple, I realized that I didn't know much at all. And so sharing about parenting to a congregation where many have more wisdom and understanding about parenting than I can be risky business. So I ask for your grace. My sharing this morning is meant to be more of what I have personally learned as a parent, a personal reflection, if you will. I hope that you are challenged and encouraged. And I ask for the grace of my children. Sharing a few stories about you may make you feel a bit nervous, but know that I love you and I share them because you're important to me. So Serenity has a quote book that she started several years ago. We will write down funny things that the kids say. Some of what is written in the book are conversations that we've had sitting around the breakfast table, descriptions of milestones that the kids are going through at the time. We also have written down several questions that the students, forgive me, that my children have asked throughout the years, some of them being profoundly deep, some of them being very funny, and some of them being a bit of each. So here are a few. When Allison was 5 years old, she asked, "If God made everything, who made God?" Avery, when he was 9 years old, asked, "How strong are your eyelid muscles?" Eva, when she was 5 years old, asked, "If his name is God, is his nickel name Jesus?" Nickel name was her way of saying middle name, I guess, or nickname. Nickname, that's what it was. Lucy, when she was 6, asked, "Even when you are a mommy, are you still Jesus's kid?" As many of you have experienced from your own children, kids can ask some really good questions. My first response usually is to have a good answer. But this is one thing I've learned. It's not always best to have the right answers. Jesus was asked 183 questions in the Bible, but he only directly answered three of them. Three. That's it. 180 times Jesus answered the question posed to him with either another question or a parable. That is remarkable to me. Maybe I don't always need to have the answers. Maybe I need to have less answers and instead have better questions. Encouraging our kids to have questions about God, about faith, heaven, hell, baptism, communion, community. These are all big questions, and I need to resist giving my children quick, simple, black and white answers. Because truth be told, I am not certain that I have come to final conclusions on any of these questions. What I thought 10 years ago is not the same as what I think today. Most likely, I won't believe the same thing 10 years from now. Our understanding of God deepens, matures, shifts, and changes. So I need to give my children the space to not know. And they need to know that I don't know either. It keeps the mystery of God fresh in their hearts. There are a few things that my kids have taught me about faith, about life, and ultimately about God. So I'm going to speak about each one of them. First up is Lucy. So can you, do you just turn this down? Which one? That one? Is that good? All right. So the thing that Lucy has taught me is that I need to constantly pursue my children. Lucy, this is one of Lucy's games that she used to play. She did not think that we could see her, I guess, by hiding behind the dish rag. And we would call out, "Where's Lucy? Where's Lucy?" And she would stand perfectly still without moving. And then that was the smile we would get when we found her. And so we all want to be pursued and sought out, to be truly known. Being the youngest of four children, Lucy sometimes feels like she's been a bit forgotten. A perfect example of this is, which many of you have probably have experienced as well, we have literally hundreds of pictures of Avery, and we have far less of our other three children. Avery being our oldest, we took lots and lots of pictures. Being the youngest, Lucy has given me an appreciation for the little things that I may have taken for granted with my older children. Running and jumping into my arms when I came home from work. Actually wanting to hold my hand in public. And yes, Lucy pursues me. All of my children did prior to adolescence. And yes, I understand that wanting less to do with your dad is a natural progression of child development, but it doesn't mean that I don't grieve it. As 1 John 4:19 says, we love each other because he loved us first. According to the Apostle John, God has pursued us from the very beginning. He loved us first. I believe that we can see God in each other. When Lucy pursues me, it is an example of God's love to me. Being pursued by Lucy has taught me how important it is to pursue my own children, not just when it is easy, but also when it's hard. Next is Eva. So, a little background of this story, of this picture. This is in the Princeton University Chapel. It's a beautiful building, built of limestone and sandstone. It's a beautiful cathedral. There was just a few dozen people in the cathedral praying at the time, and we were walking around the campus of Princeton and decided to go inside and just look at this beautiful building. Now, during this quiet, very quiet, it's a pristine chapel, right? And so it's absolutely quiet. A few people are praying silently. And she is stomping up and down the aisles singing songs. Now, she looks super cute right there, right? She's looking up to her daddy. But she was in the process of telling me no. She was telling me she would not take my hand and she would not be quiet. These kinds of stories are not unique to Eva. All of my other children have done this. At times, they are defiant and they make poor choices. Eva, however, has a special knack for pushing the outer limits of what is acceptable. Here are a couple of examples from our quote book. When Eva was 4 years old, she said, "I love Jesus, but I don't even like you guys." Serenity wrote on May 22, 2010, quote, "Eva called me Satan today." Erwin McManus is a Christian author, and he told a story in his book titled The Barbarian Way, Unleash the Untamed Faith Within. It's a story. I'll try to make it quick. So this is his story that he tells about his own parenting technique. For several years, we rented a two-story house in Los Angeles. A unique feature of the house was that a small window from the second-story bathroom opened a path to the roof. I always figured there would be a day when one of my kids would climb up on the sink and work his or her way out of onto the ledge. It just seemed to be one of those things that I or my brother, Alex, would have done when we were kids. Early one evening, my wife, Kim, and I were in the front yard when all of a sudden we heard a little voice calling for us from the roof. As soon as Kim saw him, her nurturing instinct kicked in and she started commanding him to get back inside. I have to admit, I was kind of proud of him right then. But what he did next totally surprised me. Looking past his mom, our son Aaron shouted, "Dad, can I jump?" Kim answered on my behalf, "No, you can't jump. Get back inside." As if he hadn't heard anything at all, he asked me again, "Dad, can I jump?" Now, I know what I'm supposed to do. A dad is never supposed to override the mom. I'm just telling you what really happened. After all, he did ask me. I answered, "Yeah, go ahead." He said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, sure, go ahead and jump." Kim looked at me as if I was out of my mind and asked, "What are you doing?" In a sort of explanation, I answered Aaron, "Are you going to jump sometime?" He said, "Yeah, I think so." I said, "Okay, I'd rather have you jump now, so if you jump and break your legs, we can take you to the hospital." It made perfect sense to me. He said, "Okay, I'm going to jump." Just before his first step, he yelled, "Dad, catch me." And I said, "I'll try." He stepped as far back as he could on the roof and began running to jump. And he jumped. I almost caught him. It was so close. I think I did slow his fall a little, though. So, sorry, I can't tell the end of the story. You have to read the book. God allows us to make poor decisions. And you could say the father telling him to jump might be a poor decision as well, overriding the mother, but that's another sermon. He allows for disorder. He has given us all a choice. There is a desire deep in my soul to protect my children from poor decisions. But Jesus made it clear that even when we choose correctly, safety is not guaranteed. Following Jesus doesn't equal the removal of danger. Just ask the early Christian martyrs in the Roman Colosseum or the early Anabaptists or Dietrich Bonhoeffer and his confessing church under Nazi Germany. Follow Jesus should equal the removal of fear. So as Romans 8, 15 and 16 says, "So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children." By allowing Eva and the rest of my children to make mistakes and witness an unsterilized world full of these mistakes, we can hopefully burn away the belief that following Jesus is monotonous and boring. Next is Allie. Allie has taught me that I need to encourage my kids to be wild. In the quote book, Allie was described repetitively as, quote, unconventional and, quote, wild. Wearing two different socks or her shirt on backwards, Allie would respond with, "I like it like that." From a very young age, we could also tell she was going to be extremely competitive. When she was not more than 2 years old, frustrated that Avery was not listening to her as he was walking away, she proceeded to grab him by the hair from behind and pull him over backwards. Obviously, this wasn't okay, and there was a consequence, but I also want to make sure that I don't squelch that wild streak. God gives us the freedom to live a wild life, and as I have mentioned, following God should be wild. One of Allie's quirks that completely fit her personality was that she liked to walk around wildly shaking her head, kicking her legs up. She would do it everywhere, in the house, at the park, on the sidewalk. It was just her thing. She would walk around kicking her legs up and walking wildly. We actually have video of her doing it when we were traveling. We filmed her doing it one time while she was holding my hand. So.
Allie going nuts every time you want to hold her hand. Here goes Eva. Okay, bye-bye.
You might be able to anticipate the sermon analogy. Holding on to God's hand allows us to follow him while he protects us, a sort of Psalms 23 connection. Although I walk through the shadow of death, he guides me along right pathways. But I'd like to take it another step beyond that. If I want my kids to know and follow God beyond the time they spend under my roof, I need to encourage my kids to be wild, maybe even demand it. As the same author, Erwin McManus, writes later in the same book, we shouldn't, quote, raise our children in the cocoon of a domesticated faith and wonder why they run as far away from that faith to find adventure somewhere else. And lastly is Avery. I need to continually point my kids to Jesus. Serenity homeschooled our kids for several years. It was obviously a necessity while we were traveling. After a few years of being back in Oregon, we made the decision to transition Avery into public schools. It was rough for him, and it was rough for us too, watching him struggle. I really wanted to swoop in and save the day, confront the injustice or set someone straight. And occasionally I did, and I should have. But more importantly, I need to point beyond myself, his earthly father, to his true father, his Abba father. Jesus called his father this in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the Apostle Paul reminded us in Romans 8 that we must not have a spirit of fear because we are children of the Most High God. Now we even call him Abba Father, which Matthew just a few weeks ago explained, and many of you already know that Abba is a way of saying daddy. I have a father wound. Oh, excuse me. One point up. Sorry. I read a book several years ago that discussed the concept of a father wound. We all have a wound left by our fathers. Fathers who have literally scarred us, to dads that have left a figurative wound of abandonment or neglect. I have a father wound. You have a father wound. We all have pain that was created by our fathers. As a father myself, I must accept this. No matter how hard I try to be the perfect dad to Avery or any of my children, I will fail. If I try to be something that only God can be for him, I will create an even deeper father wound. I want my children to look to God as their daddy, their Abba. If I have one job to do as a dad, it isn't to solve Avery's problems, be his hero, or teach him how to be a man. It is to simply and consistently point him to Jesus, his true Abba Father. I titled my sermon message, Free Range Parenting, which some of you may be familiar with the concept of free range parenting. It's come out maybe 10, 15 years ago and probably has always existed. They just didn't call it that. But it's kind of just letting children make decisions for themselves and do what they want and kind of roam around. Struggled coming up with a sermon title, but Serenity and I, it's kind of an inside joke because when our kids are misbehaving, we just look at each other and say free range parenting. So the bottom line is that I don't know anything more about parenting than you do, but it is a journey. And I want to reflect on my parenting and reflect on how to be a better parent. But as much of the theme that has been talked about today has been about community, we can't be afraid to help raise each other's kids, because if we're truly that community, that's what we need. We need to be together, and we need to help each other in this really scary process of being a parent. We need to allow them to make poor decisions and to be wild, but at the same time, pursue each of them while I point them towards Jesus, their Abba Father. Many of my parenting mistakes that I have made and continue to make are due to my own fear, the fear of losing my kids, both literally and figuratively, the fear of my kids hurting themselves or being hurt, the fear of my kids not loving me back. But as Paul says, love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. Amen.
For our response song, let's turn to our blue hymnal to number 616, Children of the Heavenly Father. And let's stand. 616, stand if you're able. We are all children of God.
Thank you, Andy, for your message. I want to give a few moments for us to reflect on the message, and then we'll have some other sharing. But while it's fresh in your mind, what you've heard, what's your response to Andy's message? Should following God be wild? Anyone want to reflect? Yes, Lynn.
Thanks, Andy. And the thing that caught my attention, among other things, was the pain from our father. No father is perfect, and my dad wasn't perfect, but he was a great man. And I highly respect him, but there is some pain. Gives me hope, though, to know that in all my imperfections and failures as a dad, you know, that was there, and my kids have forgiven me, I hope. So thanks, Andy, for the reminder that none of us are perfect, but God in His grace allows us this wonderful journey of parenting.
Thank you, Lynn. Anyone else like to share reflections? Carol.
Andy, thank you for some of the laughter. Parenting is an adventure. I remember when our children were young, I was in conversation with my sister who had children right around my kids' age. And kind of the anxiety of, are we doing it right? And one of the things she told me was, you do the best you can, and you ask God to cover the rest. Doesn't mean it's going to be a perfect childhood and there won't be hurts. I'm glad you reminded us of that. But it's also, as we think of things in our parents that disappointed us, is to allow God to heal that. So thank you, Andy.
What about it's not always best to answer their questions? I like that. I know for me, I appreciated being in community and asking advice from other parents on some things I needed to decide for my own child, and having others weigh in on that as I was struggling with giving permission for them to do certain things. Craig.
I remember our youngest son, Brooks, if you can imagine being born into the family. Well, we have married representatives that come into our family, and you don't sing. And it being real peculiar, because that's something we do together in our family. We may not do a lot of other things, but we sing together. And Brooks had nothing to do with singing. Nothing to do with singing. He shook his head. He did monotone. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool. We got a Gingrich that's not going to sing. Wonder what he's going to do. And, I mean, really, it's every family has something that's a soothing thing, that something draws you together, and that's our thing in our family. And it was just funny. Jan and I decided to attend a choir concert when Brooks was a sophomore, and he came out on stage and sang. And, of course, I couldn't fight back the tears. And something came to me that I think's in Andy's part of his message and part of his story, is you don't force things that are from God. And I just love the idea that God leaves an opening for us to be wild. As you look at his creation, I'm often challenged. Yearly, I go out into the wild, and I'm often challenged by the beauty of wildness, and that's a God thing. And so thank you, Andy, for that message.
Stan.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that Jesus was asked 180 questions and he answered 3 of them. I mean, so often we think, well, we go to the Bible for answers and direction and stuff like that. So why did he do that? But I think it's true, like Andy said, that we don't always want to give our children all the answers. But Andy, I can't believe you're going to leave us hanging on that story. There's still time.
Yeah, there's another sermon, right? Hey, I want to say thank you to Avery, Allie, Lucy, and Eva for just giving you permission to share their stories. When I saw the slides earlier, the one of Allie with the sunglasses, I thought it was Lucy. And I had to look at that for a while to, you know, believe it was Allie. Anyone else like to share? Steve?
I wasn't here last week, so I'm going to tell my little thankful story now. It asked what book that I was thankful for, and because I'm here in Zion Christian Church, you'd think I would say the Bible, but I'm not going to. The book that I'm really thankful for is To Kill a Mockingbird. It's a book I've been reading the last month, and I've read periodically through my life, different stages, and it really is a great love story. And speaking of parenting, Atticus Finch is in the book, so there's a great father figure. The book really has taught me to be thankful. It teaches me to step into other people's shoes, to look at the world through other people's eyes, and to know that we all are the eyes of the world. And it's a remarkable book. And just a small note, the Mennonites even make it into a small little 2 lines of that book. So if you want to read it again, you'll see that us Mennonites are in it. So thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Anyone else like to share? Kelsey.
Andy mentioned about how the church should be a community to help parent, and I've really felt that having Liesl and Eli. There's been many people who have been who watched them or been willing to watch them for short times or long times, and it's been really helpful.
This is your extended family, yeah, to help out. Yeah. Anyone else like to share? We want to remember Pastor Matthew and Don and Kelly as they come home this week. I don't know if you've been watching our Facebook page. I've been getting photos and captions for those photos to have you follow along with their experience. So we'll be hearing from them in 2 weeks in our service. They'll be sharing on that. Also, I want to ask for prayers for Juana, who is, Juana is here today, and her son, Valeriano Santos, is going to be deported tomorrow back to Mexico. So I want to have a prayer for her. His daughter, Helen, is with her, and she's going to be caring for Helen. At some point, Helen might get to go to be with her father, but we don't know that yet. So when she comes back in, I want to have a prayer for her, but I'll wait a few minutes if anyone else would like to share any prayer requests. Jean, good to see you here.
This is Jean Gaucho. Glad to be back with my church family. I was just wondering this morning what people do without a church family, whether it's through prayers, cards, visits, calls. It's been great, and I'm feeling great, and hopefully continue on getting better. And last of all, I couldn't ask for a better wife to take care of me during these four surgeries. And so whether it was being a nurse or helping dress me or being my chauffeur or my hairdresser, whatever, I just appreciate her.
She's a keeper. Thank you for sharing. Anyone else? Stacy.
Hey, this is Stacy. So I'm not that afraid of four-year-old boys anymore, but I am really afraid to speak in front of all of you, and I just need to apologize. I had a script, and I did not go off it. So the two-year-olds that received Bible storybooks were super thankful for Rachel, who's the daughter of Daniel and Anna, Olive, who is the daughter of Mary and Andrew, and Lincoln, who is the son of Adam and Aaron. So we're thankful for their parents, and I also just wanted to give a shout-out. Karen and I are so thankful for each of our teachers and the part that they play in each of these kids' lives, and I know that some have expressed that the children really bring them joy, too. So it's just another part of being a church family, I think.
Thank you. Let's go to prayer. We will lift Juana in our prayers and her son also. Lord, thank you for this message today. I ask that we could, this is a good reminder for us to support one another as we're raising our children, to show that true Christian care that we all need as we're making decisions in our children's lives. Thank you that you have given us this extended family. And I ask that you would continue to give us wisdom as we're leading and teaching our children. Not every day is an easy day, and it's easy to feel anxious and overwhelmed at times. So we ask for your help. We ask that your presence would be with us, that you would be watching over those that we care for, those that we love each day. We want to pray for Valeriano Santos, Juana's son. Lord, I just ask that you would give him what he needs, that you would give Juana what she needs during this time, the separation that's going to be there. I ask that your loving arms would hold them and that you would show your care, provide for their needs. Thank you for Helen, this beautiful girl, and that Juana is able to care for her We just ask for their protection, that you would give them wisdom in the days ahead. We want to lift Matthew and Dawn and Kelly. Thank you for their safe travel and experiences. We ask that you would bring them home to us safely this week. And Lord, as we've been with our families during this holiday, not all things are perfect in our relationships. Sometimes those words that we need to hear, we struggle with. We need your healing in our lives. I pray that you would walk with us in our questions, that amidst our longings and our struggles, that we would know you as our God, and that we would know you are with us. So we ask these things today as we're gathered together and as we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Please stand for our benediction song. I'm so excited to have these two girls singing with me this morning. Allie has recently learned to play the ukulele, so she's going to join us, and Eva's going to be singing.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he shine a light upon your face. May you feel the heat of his glory in your bones. May you know his kindness and his grace. May his love define your place of living. May you see his face among your friends. May you live your story empowered by his love. May you be comfortable walking in your skin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. May you find your worth from your Maker, live in freedom all your days. May you grow sense of who you really are. May his light show you the way. May you know that you have the power to add beauty and grace into this world. May you discover all your gifts and give them generously. May you listen for God's every word. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
I'll read a few verses from number 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.